From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 28th day of October 2019. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. We'll discuss the cash grain segment with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County, and we'll take a look at the agricultural news and the weather forecast, too. That'll come from the guys up at Brisk Pulse in Chicago right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago today, December corn for Monday down 2 3/4 of a cent at $3.84. The March at $3.94 at a half, three lower. May down 2.5 at $4.01.5, and July at $4.07.5, 2.25 lower. December contract for the corn at $4.05.5 down 2.25. November beans up a half cent at $9.20 3/4. January 9.35 1/2 up a penny. The March up one at $9.47 3/4. May up 1 1/4 at $9.58 3/4, and July at $9.69 up 2 cents. Next year's November, three higher for the 2020 contract at $9.70 3/4. And the soybeans, the bean oil down 18 cents at $30.78. The bean meal up 70 cents at $304. Wheat futures, July soft red down 4.5 at $5.28. The hard red July, a nickel lower at $4.48 1/4. Live cattle futures in the October up 90 cents at $112.87 1/2. December at $116.60 up 52 1/2 cents, and feeders down 30 at $145.40. November at $145.72 1/2 up 35. We'll check the cattle on feed numbers when we talk to Kurt Kimmel here in just a moment. Those were out on Friday afternoon. Lean hogs December contract up 72 1/2 cents at $65.65. February at $73.97 1/2 up 62 1/2 cents. The crude oil is 75 cents lower. Ethanol down a penny and 8 tenths. Heating oil or diesel fuel, a penny and a half lower, and gasoline is just about unchanged on the day. Natural gas up 13 2/10 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 27,046. It's up 142 points. The U.S. dollar is down 0.074, and the gold futures at $1,490.40, down $9.10. Now here's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to talk about what's been happening in Chicago for the day. Hey, Kurt, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, good afternoon. Glad to be here, Todd.
Well, let's start off, actually, with what's happening with the Dow Jones Industrial Average. It's up 143 points. The S&P 500, just 18 points higher. There's been some, I'll call it divergence in these two. They've not followed each other directly, but the Dow's making new highs.
Yeah, we're seeing some optimism. Part of this is speculation that this phase one agreement with China, you know, is fairly far along, and so there's some progress there. Then, too, the Brex delayment until towards the end of the year here is also supportive. Then the economic numbers in general, we'll have some unemployment numbers here as we go through the week. So the overall economy seems to be in a plus stage right here, Todd.
Let's turn our attention back just a bit. On Friday afternoon, I wasn't in the office for the cattle on feed numbers. What did they look like?
On the on feed, 99% of a year ago. Placements, 102, and the marketing's 101. Placements just, you know, slightly higher by about 0.5% than what the average trade guest was looking for. So for the most part, you can say that it is expected. When you look at the overall cattle numbers, we're continuing to see these kills just about 1% above a year ago. And, you know, not a real burdensome. Demand's fairly good in the beef complex. But, two, we're looking at some pretty poor weather here for feeding livestock in general. We're looking at some extremely frigid temperatures as we go into the weekend, and even the longer-term maps are showing some colder temperatures and moist too, so that will translate to maybe some slower weight gains and also an increase in feed demand. And I would assume that the meal market might be a commodity to watch here as we move forward.
And those cold temperatures will make their way throughout the Midwest. They'll come with some snow in the northwestern part of the belt, including, I suppose, all the way through Iowa and parts of northwestern Illinois. That won't be too good. There'll be cold weather here, though the rainfall over the weekend was probably the biggest problem. I saw you had, what, 2.5 there where you were? I had 3 inches at my home. So a lot of rain. I suppose farmers have been able to call you today and talk a little bit about what's happening in their areas.
Yeah, it was a 2.5 to 3 inch rain event. You take up through Illinois, the central part, and you move into Indiana. It lightened up a little bit, 2 to 1.5 to 2, but western Illinois is about 1.5, and Iowa and Missouri and Nebraska and so forth kind of missed out on. But like you mentioned, there they're going to be hit with the snow belt as you look at a strip from down in Texas up through Oklahoma, Kansas, Missouri, and in that sort of eastern Iowa, western Illinois, on up into Wisconsin and through there. So we'll see how that unfolds. Oh, conversation-wise, guys in the west were western Illinois were going to give her a go this afternoon. There's portions spots in here on where a little lighter amounts. They were going to try to give her a go. Mainly corn, beans are probably going to be on hold here for a day or two. This afternoon's harvest progress reports expect to show corn harvest destination 43% complete versus 30% to last week. Soybeans 62% versus 46% a week ago. Bean harvest in most parts of saw a rapid progress there in the last 2 weeks, whereas corn's continued to going to be a slow event. A lot of talk about the June corn, anywhere from 25-26% clear up to 38% of moisture. So it's going to be quite a challenge, especially for those in the northern belt here, as we see this forecast turn to the worst here over the next week.
Late last week, basis, I think, began to pop again for corn. Is that just on the delayed harvest now?
I think it's a combination of delayed harvest. Also, too, there seems to be ample on-farm storage, and the producer wants to fill that first. And with these wet conditions, guys are willing to dry it at home versus pay commercial drying charges, which are adding up quite quick here. Then, the overall demands underneath the marketplace. The late harvest, not a lot has been sold. End users are needing to gather some inventory. And so they're trying to get those inventories met here fairly quickly. So this basis should hold together here for a while. And for those who've got some cash grain to move, might want to consider taking advantage of that to generate some cash flow.
Do they need to buy that back in some way if they do so?
Oh, you bet. We can do that here for you. No problem.
Of course they do.
But the corn market's fairly flat. And the thing about re-ownership is you can buy in-the-money options fairly reasonable. There's not a whole lot of juice in them. Option volatility is fairly low. That's when you want to be a buyer. We're talking 12-14% volatility. And you want to be a buyer here in the fall and winter versus in the spring and summer when they've really got a lot of juice in them. Because when you buy when there's juice in them, they're awful hard to get to work. So there's all kinds of strategies where you can do some spreads and so forth to help pay for that. But I hate giving up ownership here on corn particularly. I think there's a lot of moving parts to be discovered yet. And we're looking at one of the tightest inventories in the last 6 years. But price-wise, we're kind of in the middle of the six-year range. So I think there's some upside potential here as we move into 2020.
You okay with moving soybeans across the scale?
It's going to be hard to get those to work. There is wide basis. The commercial guys are buying the beans and hedging them, trying to capture the carry. In fact, some large commercials are stacking beans outside here short term. Maybe they know something down the road in through here, but I think you got to kind of shop around if you can get a good bid, generate cash grain to cash dollars here to get you through the year end. And then we'll see what the South American weather brings as we move into 2020. As of right now, they've got a little better forecast. They've been dry and they're looking some for some shower activity or some rain activity here for the next 6 to 10 days.
Hey, thanks so much. Anything else before I let you go?
Nope, that'll be it.
That, of course, is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, corn and ethanol groups have been complaining the EPA's proposed fix, brokered by President Trump, does not keep Mr. Trump's promise of more than 15 billion gallons of ethanol usage, that based on actually waived gallons, but uses lesser Energy Department estimates instead. The Renewable Fuels Association Chief Jeff Cooper says he plans to be on Capitol Hill tomorrow morning for a hearing about the EPA's proposal.
I expect to be at that hearing, and we will certainly be sharing with the committee our views on the damage wrought by these exemptions and our views on how to rectify this problem.
31 exemptions were granted to small oil refineries recently. That deprives the ethanol industry of almost 1.5 billion gallons of demand, following some 2.6 billion lost to earlier waivers. Cooper complains the goalpost keeps shifting on a fix.
We had both EPA and the president say very recently that the agreement should result in more than 15 billion gallons. The president at one point said, we're going to be close to 16 billion gallons by the time this is all said and done. So now the sands have shifted and they're portraying the deal as net 15 billion gallons only.
But Cooper says even that might not be possible under DOE estimates of lost gallons. RFA and a coalition of biofuel and ag groups were in court again last week with a petition challenging EPA's waiver process for the 31 small refinery exemptions it recently granted. Now, on the subject of hearings, the Trump administration's rush to repeal the Obama EPA's controversial Waters of the United States regulation has put it in the awkward legal situation of defending a much more expansive reading of the Clean Water Act than it eventually wants to establish with a replacement regulation. The WOTUS repeal, finalized last week, reports Politico, forces federal agencies to revert to a 1986 reading of the Clean Water Act until any replacement rule is complete. But because of the two legal challenges filed against the repeal action, the Trump administration must now defend that earlier version. The administration intends to replace the 1986 reading with one that greatly narrows federal authority. But one lawsuit brought by the property rights group, the Pacific Legal Foundation, argues that the stopgap rule, relied on for decades, is far too broad. Well, the White House's strategy is to use the 1986 rules as a legal hedge so that the Obama-era regulations are not reinstated if the EPA's forthcoming WOTUS replacement gets tied up in court. But legal experts, Politico reports, say that opens up the risk that the courts will simply uphold the 1986 reading, which was more expansive than WOTUS in some ways and often delivered wins in court for environmentalists. And finally today, Argentina will have a new president and a vice president in the month of December. The vice president has been in office as president before, and this may be good news for corn and soybean farmers in the United States, so this isn't quite clear. The Peronist Party, which now will inhabit the presidency's office in Argentina, had previously been a tax and spend party, and the taxes were heavily put on commodities like soybeans. Jackie Vakes has been discussing this with us during the Closing Market Report each and every Wednesday for the past 3 weeks.
Peronists are more interventionists, and I think they're going to move toward doing something to try and fix the economy, which I would expect. But they like to do currency controls, price controls, export taxes on commodities, which I'm sure most farmers are just cringing at, because Christina Kirchner was just famous for upping that, export controls, subsidies. So, it's really hard to say, will he run the show or will Christina Kirchner actually run the show from behind the scenes?
Jackie Vakes is with Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson, and that's a look at today's agricultural news. Let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast. Mark Russo is here. He's with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Mark, turn your attention to this past weekend. Operations for harvest have been halted across a portion of the Midwest. Can you tell me where the most rain fell?
Yes, Todd. Looking back at the weekend rainfall totals, all of the heavier rains were concentrated in the eastern Corn Belt. In fact, across much of the vast majority of Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan, and the southeastern portion of Wisconsin as well, picked up anywhere from 1 to over 5 inches of rain, even some localized higher totals. Now, it was really Illinois, and especially central and eastern Illinois, that saw the highest totals, again, anywhere from 4 to 5 inches with localized higher amounts. As you move west of the Mississippi, basically nothing in Iowa, northern Missouri, Minnesota, and the Dakota. So it was all an eastern Corn Belt, you know, heavy rain event, and that's where obviously the biggest harvest issues are taking place right now.
So they'd like some warmer temperatures and drier days so that they could get back in the field without a lot of mud. Will that happen?
We do not see that here, at least, well, basically over the next couple of weeks, things are going to be sluggish. Number one, temperatures will be biased colder than normal, especially over the next 10 to 12 days, with the coldest time frame being the second half of this week and over the weekend, as a very potent punch of Arctic air moves into the middle of the country. And that's actually going to be following a winter storm, which looks to produce anywhere from 1 to 3 inches of snow on the lighter side to over 6 inches of snow in portions of northern Missouri, northwest Illinois, into southeast Iowa and southern Wisconsin coming up here on Halloween. So certainly a more wintry type of pattern here. And again, even the next couple of days, still some additional liquid precip in the portions of the eastern belt, and then even into the 11 to 15 day time frame, indications of yet another rain system. So really, for the Corn Belt overall, it's about 2/3 of the Corn Belt that will continue to struggle with harvest progress. But you know, on the positive side, the one area that will see actually dry conditions much of the next couple of weeks, albeit with cold temperatures, is the northwestern part of the Corn Belt, northwestern third of the belt.
So we're talking about the Dakotas, Minnesota. Is Nebraska in there, or is it split?
No, exactly. That is the area with very little precip here coming up.
All right, and turn your attention to South America now.
Yeah, overall for South America, again, it hasn't been the greatest starts to the growing season in Argentina and Brazil, but it hasn't been any kind of, you know, major issue. As we look out ahead here over the next few weeks, and you know, some dry areas that could use a little more precip to boost soil moisture, it's really the southwestern part of the Argentina grain belt that looks to continue missing out over the next few weeks. So that's La Pampa, that's southwestern Buenos Aires, far southern Cordoba. Outside of that zone, the rest of the Argentina grain belt and oilseed belt, including the core acreage, looks to see significant rainfall. So more significant soil moisture improvement is expected there. Then up in Brazil, they're going to continue to go through these waves of rain, and overall, the pattern features a generally near normal rainfall pattern. There's still a few areas that we'll tend to miss out, but still don't have any major concerns at this time for Brazil as we move into the early part of November.
Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
That, of course, is Mark Russo. He's with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. He joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. We're now going to take a look at what's been happening in the cash grain market. And Greg Johnson is with us from the Andersons right here in Champaign County. I suppose, given the rainfall over the weekend, I had 3 inches at the house. It's likely that there's not much going on there at the elevator today. Is that right?
That is correct. We've got a handful of people running today. I guess some places only got 2, 2.5 inches of rain. And with more rain in the forecast, I think some people say, well, we can slop through it now, or we can slop through it later if the forecast is right and they've chose to go today. So we've got a handful of people running, not very many, but we're not completely quiet.
They'll get started again tomorrow, and no sooner than that happens, I suppose they'll be stopped on Wednesday.
That's just it. There's rain in the forecast three more times, and you know, it sounds like next week, if you can believe the long-term maps, it looks a little bit better. So we're keeping our fingers crossed. We've had four nice weeks of weather harvest activity, so I guess we were due for a clunker of a week, and that's this week, and we probably won't get a lot done this week, stopping and starting, but hopefully next week we'll resume and get a good pace going next week.
Most of the soybeans in your draw area around East Central Illinois, parts of Indiana, done with soybeans?
We are done right around here in our immediate area, but we are seeing beans from northern Champaign County, northern Vermilion, Iroquois County still coming in, and still a fair amount of beans left to come in those areas. We think we're probably 95% done in our areas, but up there, there's probably still 15-20% of the beans left in the field. So not everyone's done. They got planted a lot later, and then they had some rains that that we didn't get. So there still are some beans available, but by and large, a lot of the beans have finished up.
60s or 50s catch most of it?
We think we're going to be in the 50s. If you got them planted early, you are in the 60s, but two-thirds of the beans got planted in June, and then a lot of areas to our north, again, and east did not get the rains. South and west got some rain, so if you're south of Interstate 74, those beans may be in the 60s. If you're west, Mansfield and on into Piatt County, I think Piatt County is going to have some really good beans, but most of Champaign County, north of Interstate 74, north of 74 in Vermilion County, and then on to the north and east, 50s and even some 40s in those areas.
Are farmers mostly selling them across the scale?
Not soybeans. They're very bullish beans. I think bean yields in general are 20% below last year. Corn yields are only 10 to 15% below last year. So I think farmers are more willing to sell corn than they are beans. They're bullish beans, and you know, the trade talk, you know, November 17th, the November 8th crop report, there's a couple of potentially friendly things out there, and I think farmers are going to hold out and see what those two events have to say before they really let loose of the beans.
How far along on the corn harvest in the area?
We think we're 50% done, just over 50% done. Some people are getting close to finishing up, and others have been concentrating on beans and really haven't got much of a start on the corn. But overall, I'd say we're just over 50% done on corn. And again, the farther north and east you go, the slower the progress.
Which is the stronger basis, corn or soybeans?
Bean basis is definitely stronger. The corn basis has started strong, and it's just kind of stayed steady at those strong levels. But the bean basis has really picked up steam, especially with harvest winding up. Most of the beans now that are in the bin, their processors are going to have to pay up to get those beans out of the bins at this point.
Hey, thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. You can look us up, listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. You can do that on our website, where you'll find everything, or most everything, from our daily programming, from the Opening Market Report to the Closing Market Report, available not long after it airs on our radio stations for you to listen to in its entirety. If you'd prefer to listen as a podcast, you can find the Opening and Closing Market Report, along with Commodity Week, in places like iTunes, the Google Play Store, Stitcher, SoundCloud, the NPR One app, even in Spotify. It's all about the way you want to use the programming right here from Illinois Public Media. You can listen on the radio. You can listen live from the internet. You can listen on demand from the website at willag.org. Or, of course, look us up and listen to us in any of your favorite podcast applications. By the way, while you're out and about this week, be sure to be safe as you make your way through this harvest season. I'm Todd Gleason.